Rick, I think any time that God gives us an opportunity to brag on him, we ought to do it. I'm just so thankful for the Lord and his work in our hearts and our lives. You know, seems to be a theme that there's crazy people down at Stony Run. Lois, you've known me for a lot of years. And it used to be down here at this ballpark just down the road. I played on a co-ed softball league, and I'm telling you, I was just plumb crazy there. I had the time of my life playing along there. I really wasn't that serious about playing ball, but we had a great group that we played with, didn't we, Lois? And we had a blast. I don't know. There was something in my crazy head and why the Lord allows me to tell these stories and make fun of myself. I don't know. But I felt so, well, I just felt like it would be a good time if some of us guys dressed up like ladies and headed to the ballpark. Don't ask me why. Lois, I don't know if you recall that or not, or why I'd tell them myself, but some of us guys dressed up ladies, and we came into the ballpark. You know what? Now, you look at that different because we're living in a little bit sicker time right now. But we were just having fun. And we came in there, and they were just always expecting something crazy of us, and we went in there, and I'm telling you, I didn't have a serious bone in my body hardly when it came to playing ball like that there, but we had a blast. And, you know, I said all that to say this year, maybe that's why the Lord has me at Stony Run. I'm crazy and I fit right in on that. But the Bible says that we're peculiar people. And I'm so thankful that the Lord does make a change. And I know that it looks a whole lot different to the people of this world and they're living outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, we can call it crazy. We can call it fanatical. We can call it holy roars, whatever you want. I know it's real tonight. I know it is real, absolutely, in the pits of my soul. I know it is real. And I am so thankful for the change that Jesus Christ makes in our lives. Some dear precious sister gave me a whole gallon of tea last night, and I have been sucking that down like I'm an addict to it. It is absolutely some wonderful mint tea. If I've got to cut this thing short because I feel a restroom call coming, please understand here tonight, tea and coffee have a way of passing through me quicker than anything else, but we're going to try and mind God as much as we can tonight. And so if you would, grab your Bibles, turn with me to the first book of Thessalonians, chapter number 5. I certainly appreciate the group coming and sharing in song tonight. I appreciate all the ages of the group represented here tonight. It is a blessing. I'm so thankful that there is no age respecter in serving the Lord. Hallelujah. It does minister to you. Hey, and the older you get, the more it ministers to you when you see younger ones serving the Lord. And I'm so thankful tonight for the blessings. And I know Andy and Barb and Barry and Dorothy, they're just about as proud can be of their grandchildren. And you know what? That's a gift from God. And I'm so thankful for his blessings on our lives. Appreciate them coming tonight and sharing and just being special to our heart and to our ministry. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I want to read the first 11 verses out of that chapter. If you have that and you're able to stand tonight, let's stand for the reading and honoring of God's precious word. Hey, not to mention about the tea passing through, I've got some fresh brownies in my pew too. And I'll be honest, I'm easily distracted over food. I've always been, I always probably will be. Last night when I walked into the service, and listen, I knew immediately that you guys had a meal here. I could smell the aroma when I walked into the sanctuary, and you talked about a funeral root meal. Faye's one of the ladies that serves in our funeral meals at the church. Can I tell you, I have not smelled funeral meals like that at our church in a long time. There was something special being cooked over there. It had me a little distracted last night, and I'm thankful I didn't need to smell that tonight when I walked in. I could keep focused. Lord, help me. Keep me where I need to be. Lord, calm my stomach. All of those things I'm praying four times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Lord, help us to get where we need to be. Paul's writing a word that has a lot deeper meaning than what I'm going to touch tonight. Paul is giving a little bit of a prophetic word of a great tribulation and a millennial reign that is coming, and he's speaking to the church. There's something else that is deep here that I want to get a hold of tonight, and You've asked me and invited me, and I'm so thankful for your gracious offer to come and preach a revival to you. And I want to do our very part as God has led, I trust through the Holy Spirit, for us to look at some aspects of revival and what it takes for his bride, his church, to be spoken to. Here's a thought for you. It's kind of discouraging at times in my life, but my vehicle never stays clean. Clean it almost weekly, on a regular weekly basis. It never stays clean. You know, even when it doesn't rain and it doesn't snow and PennDOT's not out hammering the roads with all of the kind of elements that they put on the road that are just absolutely terrible for the vehicles, this time of the year I can sit it and there's a yellow glaze all over it. It just never stays clean. Do you know the bride of Christ? It's kind of like that. We just never stay absolutely revived. God always has to get in there and stir some things. And I'm praying that tonight God will give us help to stir some of those slumbering chords, because there's a tendency in every one of us as believers to get a little sleepy. Listen to the word of God. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and seasons, Paul said, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, really talking about Israel in a day to come, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light, and so let the sun get in your eye. Hallelujah. You are the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Not talking about the physical drink, but a metaphor describing a spiritual condition. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope, a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or we sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also do ye. Father, this evening hour, we desperately need your help. We thank you already for your divine spirit that has settled in. We have felt you, Lord, as we have worshiped you in spirit and in truth. Lord, there is a sweet, sweet spirit. Divinely that comes and ministers to our hearts. No, we don't deserve it. God, you have been so good to us time and time again, but yet you're so obedient. You're so faithful to your living word. You're so faithful that where we would gather together and we would ask a Holy Spirit of visitation, there you come in the midst of our hearts and our lives, and you bless us in such a way that we're reminded of things that we had forgotten about. We're reminded of things that we had not seen before. And Lord, there's scenes that come before us, and we're reminded again as an anthem rings out in our heart. We're absolutely thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. It has the authority and the ability. It has the atoning work of Calvary to cover it all tonight. Every sin, every transgression, entirely changing us from an old creature to something new. Lord, this evening hour, I pray that your entire word, the penetrating work of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in his living authoritative word, would reach into the vials of our heart, into the vessels of who we are. And I pray again tonight your word would sound forth, and it cannot be closed. It cannot be pushed out. It cannot be rejected. But God, to this evening hour, as obedient servants of Christ, may you find us even more surrendered tonight. May you find us cherishing the living word of God. May you find our lives coming in closer to you. Oh God, tonight I pray that you'd search us out. You would try the reins and the thrones of our heart. And that God, you would look deeply into who we are tonight. And God, may you call us tonight to hear you. Lord, tonight I pray for every believer, every brother and sister in the Lord tonight, whether I know them by name or not. God, tonight, and I also pray for those that do not know you, those that in the depths of their heart know not you. God, those hearts, would you reach tonight as well? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Wake up. That's what I'm calling this message tonight. Go ahead and wake up. I think that's what Paul's instructing the church here in Thessalonica, that it's really, really ought to be in the knowledge of our hearts already. But there's an edifying word that comes from the Apostle Paul. And isn't it something of encouragement as brothers and sisters in the Lord, even though we hear it time and time again, but yet we're reminded of the great comfort and the reality of our walk of faith that Jesus Christ is coming again. And even though we know it in our heart, doesn't it do us something good to hear it out spoken to us in truth and in reality? When the preacher proclaims it, when the songs reveal it to us and to our hearts, we're reminded there's something that absolutely is true. We amen it, we affirm it, we confirm it in our hearts, in our lives, the Savior is coming again, and we know it, but there's something encouraging about it when we hear it again. Paul is saying to the believer, we need to stay awake. We need to be spiritual watchmen, spiritual watchwoman, and we need to be concerned about the second coming of the Lord, and we know it, but there's something about us that grows sleepy from time to time. You know, when I was in kindergarten, they don't operate it like this anymore. I don't know, maybe because of the bullying situations that are going on or not, but when I was in school, you had to fend for yourself. That's just the way it worked. And the high school kids and the elementary kids, and some of you will recall this maybe in your days of school, they rode together on the same bus. And so I remember as a youngster headed to school, and I wasn't always a 6'4 individual. I was a little tyke at one time. And I remember some of those bigger gentlemen that I rode on the school bus that were rather intimidating. But I remember crawling on the bus, and the routine was that everybody get on the bus, and we'd head to school, and first what they would do is they'd drop off all of the elementary kids. And then once all the elementary kids were off the bus, and the bus driver would drive down to the high school, and he'd drop off all of the high school kids, and then his route was completed. And I've always had this thing inside of me that it's easy for me to go to sleep. Always been that way. Even from a young lad, I've had this thing where I go to sleep so easy. And I tease a lot of young people about it, but hey, before I went to school, I had to do some work. There was a lot of cows to be milked, and mom and dad expected us to be there. You know, those chores, those responsibilities. And I remember getting up so early, and I was always so tired even before the day started. And I remember one day in particular that I woke up after the bus driver I heard calling out to me as I was buried in a deep slumber inside of my bus seat. And he said, Hey, young man. And finally it dawned on me that the bus was absolutely vacant. Everybody had left. And so I knew that I had missed my stop. He said, I think you missed your stop. I said, I did. Boy, I was in a panic as a youngster, a kindergartner, and I didn't know what to do. I thought the world had ended. I mean, can he fix the problem I'm in? I don't know what to do. Should I walk up to the school or what? He said, don't worry, sonny. He said, I'll drive you back up. You know, when we used to gather together on weekends after we got out of high school, crazy kids we are, we like to just get together and shoot hoops and watch movies and just have a good time. And it was inevitable. Every weekend they knew I was going to fall asleep somewhere. I just couldn't help it. At that time I was starting to work a job, and I was working long hours, and there's just something about me. Now my wife knows it. Now she's the other way. It's kind of like the later the day gets, the more energy she gets. I'm kind of the other way around. The later the day gets, the more there's a switch that goes off inside of me, and I'm on shutdown mode. And there's nothing that reverses that except a good night's rest. And every weekend, inevitably, we get together, and they decide after we did all the activities, hey, it'd be great if we sat down and watched a movie. Yeah, that's great for you, but it means sleep time for me. And every weekend, I would fall asleep inevitably. And they'd make fun of me because I couldn't stay awake. It was just a slumbering that was going to happen. Now, here's the next thing, and Bree, close your ears here a second. there was a date I was on. Not Bree. And we had kind of group dated. And we got back to the house, and things had been going good, and it was one of those one-time first date things. And to be honest, I was just trying to think as I was studying this here, who in the world it was even that I had taken out that night, and I can't quite rightly recall. And it makes no difference, but I was just thinking about, how can you forget something like that? But I did. But here's the part I remember. I remember being there in that date, that group night together, and what they do. You know, guys get together. We've got some girls. Watch a movie. I went, why watch a movie? I can't stay awake come movie time. I fell asleep on the date. Guess who they made fun of for a lot of time, you know, after that there. I can't stay awake. I couldn't stay awake. You know, it doesn't bother me in the least. It'll get Bree upset a little bit. It doesn't bother me in the least. I've got my chair in my living room, okay? It doesn't bother me in the least that when I sit on that chair, I'm going to get to the preaching here shortly. When I sit on that chair, and there's a lot of activity in the Smith household. I just want you to know that and accept that. Trust my word. There's a lot of activity. There's not only Smith kids there all the time. Sometimes there's other kids that join in there. And it doesn't matter how much volume level is in the Smith house. It doesn't matter how much activity is going on in the room, around the kitchen, on the table, over the chairs, over the recliner, over the beds, all of that going on. You know what I'm talking about a live house. It doesn't matter. Every time, glory to God, I sit down and I crank that lever back on that lazy boy. It is no time at all. Doesn't matter the volume, doesn't matter the activity. I am in a sweet slumber. Oh, the rest of a laboring man is sweet. Hallelujah. And my wife gets so upset. She said, how can you go to sleep like that? It is a gift from God. Hallelujah. It doesn't bother me in the least. I love it. I love that I'm able to do that. Just shut it off. Shut it down like a switch. I am so thankful for the Lord and His blessings on my life that I'm able to do that. But I tell you tonight, here's where the preaching comes. What does bother me tonight? What does concern my heart tonight? And according to the Word of God, as I stare at it with a sober heart and a right mind, what does concern me tonight is how many people that I have seen over my short term of ministry and my life as a Christian that have grown spiritually sleepy, and they have made such a sleep in their life that they have made some decisions. How, and listen to me tonight, they have grown sleepy in such a way that it has put a price tag on that sleepiness, and it has made a cost at their life. I am sure that they weren't wanting to pay, but it costs to get sleepy. There's decisions in our life that we can make as sleepy Christians that are going to cost us. Can I tell you that there's a church that has gotten sleepy, and it is costing. It bothers me sometimes as I stare at some things like this here, and I realize it ought to be so entirely opposite. My mind processes it this way, that the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, oughtn't it be different than what it is today? And it bothers me, and it concerns me, and it stirs me at my core, because there's lives that are growing sleepy. Oh, it's great to have revival. It's great when God sits on your heart. It's great when God stirs you and refreshes you and revives you. But I can tell you this here, it ain't going to stay like that. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to need stirred again. You're going to need renewed again. You're going to need revival all over again. You're going to be made alive again. There's needing processes in our lives. I'm thankful that you're here tonight, church. That's a sign of something. I'm glad tonight you made a decision to be in a revival service, because there's one place, there's one time appointed where God can awaken us, and it's in a service just like this. He doesn't need it to have to happen, but it's a good opportunity for God to awaken something that's maybe gone to sleep in our hearts and our lives. Because this church is sleepy. His church is sleeping. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad for a time in my heart and my life when, well, there was one time I was very sad and miserable that God came in and he didn't pass me by. But I'm also glad for the many times. Listen, hear me tonight, church. I'm glad for the many times. I didn't sense it all the time and I didn't know it at every time, but I'm glad for the times that I was sleepy that God had something set up to awaken that sleepiness. I just read recently, and I'd shared with our church just recently, of missionaries that were missionaries to the Muslims. And I don't even really know what part of the world that they were located in, but they had moved to the States here. And it wasn't long after they were here in the States as missionaries to the Muslims. And for whatever reason, they came back to the States. It wasn't indicated in this article that I was reading. But what had caught my mind's attention was, as I was reading it, about these missionaries that moved back into the States. So we're talking about our homeland that they had moved back into. It says that in that article, these missionaries that had been missions to the Muslims, it said that it wasn't long at all that they felt something about their senses beginning to get dull in this world that we're living in today in the United States of America. I'm talking about our part of the world. It began to get desensitized to certain things. He said it wasn't long that they began to hear the lullaby that the enemy sings. You know what? He can sing a lullaby to put any child of God to sleep if we stay listening to it. They said they knew they needed to get up and get out. And they went back to the part of the world that they were from, and I don't know much about it. I just know that it wasn't as convenient as the United States of America. Hey, who remembers the scriptures? To whom much is given, much is required. A part of the world that they came from, that they went back to, that I don't know very much about, but I do know that's here. There were some struggles. There were some persecutions. There were some threats of death on their life. There were some hardships. Not every meal was supplied at the table. They actually prayed to a God in heaven and asked him for the next meal, asked him for the provisions of their lives. I mean, how many of us lately have prayed that God would provide a meal on our table? Hallelujah. We are blessed. Praise God. We are so blessed by God. And so many things that not even cross our mind. You turn on the tap spigot and there's water there, whether it's sulfur smell or not. It's there. How many of you flushed the commode lately and praise God for the conveniences? I mean, we're blessed, folks. God is so good to us. We come here in an automobile, and if it's too hot, we crank the air. If it's too cold, we crank the heat. I mean, God is favorable to our lives. Sometimes we grow sleepy spiritually. We need to be so careful. There's a lullaby Satan is trying to sing, and I think that, well, nobody requested it tonight, but I think it's being sung in the church sometimes. It's amazing. It's amazing how deceptive he is. It's amazing how quick his work is. It's amazing how effective he is in lives and hearts. Nobody's pointing a finger tonight. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm gathering us together. I'm rallying us together tonight. I'm awaking us together tonight through the help of the Holy Spirit, because there's times in our lives, there's seasons, there's areas in our lives when we grow spiritually slumbering. We let things go to sleep and there's inactivity going on. There's things that affect us, and it's affecting the church. It's affecting our relationship. It's affecting our ministries. We grow sleepy from time to time. It's a hard word, but it's so the word of God, and we need to hear it. I believe there's a wake-up call from God. I believe tonight there's a wake-up call for every brother and sister that's represented here in this auditorium tonight. I believe God is challenging us with his living word, and he's wanting to wake us up. But I also believe there's a wake-up call for every unborn, every unregenerated, every unsaved individual that's here tonight. Those that aren't believers, hey, there's a wake-up call, because he is coming again. And today is the day of salvation, and that we need to turn to him and recognize him as Lord and Savior now, because there's going to be a day that each and every one of us is going to bow on humbled knee, and we're going to confess with our tongue of tongues and our heart of hearts that he is Lord. He is Lord. Like one minister said, and I thought it was such good truth, he said, we ought to mind the Holy Spirit now because the Holy Spirit has a way of interrupting our lives and changing our plans. And I'm telling you, it can hurt if we get a little rebellious. Not today, Lord. Not your way today, Lord. I'm telling you, I've been pinched. I've been squeezed by the Holy Spirit, and it's not easy. I'd sooner surrender to him right now when he's speaking. One of the most vivid pictures in my mind of all of this is in Judges chapter 16 when Samson, you know Samson, I love these accounts in Scripture. He's supernatural. He's just, without God, it wouldn't be this way. I'm glad tonight that I'm not like Samson in the fact that when I look around the room tonight, I see I'm among some company tonight, that God's not relying on the locks of my hair for the power demonstrated through the preaching of God's word. It's left a few years ago. Samson had a supernatural strength, and you know the story of Samson tonight. I know that most of you know it familiar, and I'm not going to touch about it much, but Samson had a power from God on high, and Samson had an agenda by God. Samson had some struggles. Samson had some weaknesses. In that account of Scripture, there was one named Delilah. Oh, she caught his eye. And there in the valley, he fell in love with Delilah. And Delilah, she had been approached by the lords of the Philistines. And for a price, they were offering her. They had asked her if she would find out what Samson's strength is. And three times, Samson had lied to her and misled her. But the Bible said that just like the enemy does, just like the tactics of the devil himself, her words, they pressed in on him daily, the Bible says. Until he gave her the secret to his strength. And as orchestrated, that night she made Samson to lay his head down on her lap and fall into a sleep, and it was there that she called and bid the man in to shave his head. And I know you know that story well. But what amazes me is, how does a man fall so deep in sleep? Listen, they don't have Remington razors, beard trimmers. We're talking about a different day and time. How does a man fall so deep in sleep that somebody can come in and shave his head? And him not know it. Well, maybe he was intoxicated. Maybe all of that. Yeah, I would want to try to believe all of that. But immediately following that, the Bible says that she said, Samson, awake, for the Philistines are upon us. And immediately he woke up. You know, there's a picture here. There's a picture here of the church. It amazes me how sleepy we can become. It amazes me how spiritually sleepy we can become until we lose our strength just like that. There's something here to be seen tonight, church. There's something here for us to be gleaning of tonight. There's something here for us to recognize when God is calling out to our lives that we would wake up. When a person sleeps, they're insensible to things. They just are. Naturally, in the physical realm, when you go to sleep, you're insensible to the things. And that, what I'm meaning by that is spiritually is you just become unconcerned about the things that surround you. When you spiritually are insensible to things, you just have no concern about the things that are around you. Not only about the things that are around you, the people that are around you, you become insensible to. Matter of fact, it looks like this so many times in our lives. Well, I don't even know how they are doing.
boring. I just seen that they've been out of church for a long time. I didn't bother calling them. I didn't bother reaching out to them. I didn't really think about it lately, what's going on in their life. We become unconcerned to the things that are going on when we become spiritually insensible to things. It's an amazing thing that happens. What a destructive demonic attack from the enemy when he can cause a slumbering Christian to just settle down. Why, it pulls in, you know, the effectiveness right from us. It's an amazing thing. Not only does it affect us in that we become insensible to the things around us and the people around us. Here's a concern. We become insensible to the things in us. It's an amazing thing. The results, there's many more than this, but here's a few I've listed. Why prayer, if it happens, it's okay. If it doesn't, it's okay too. It just isn't that important. And all the while, in my mind, I keep hearing the scriptures that say prayerlessness. Why it's a sin. We need to pray. Roger mentioned last night, the brother, as he laid hands on Bree and I greatly appreciated him praying over our lives. He said, this is a house of prayer. God's house should be a house of prayer. What happens in our lives when we grow spiritually sleepy, we become insensible, unconcerned about the things and the people around us and also ourselves, and some of that result is our prayer. The prayer life that we have or had, it really isn't that important to us. One of the other things that I notice so often in life is we can't seem to find time or the time that we once had to pick up our Bibles and to read it and to love reading it and to cherish and to look forward into it. It affects our Bible reading. It affects our church attendance. It affects the ministries of our life and the ministries of this church and other churches that are affected by somebody that will spiritually go to sleep. They become insensible. I preached a revival several years ago, and as I was preaching God through the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, it was nothing to do with me, but God had awakened that church and some of the prayer warriors that had gone to sleep in that church. Oh, God, wake up the prayer warriors that have gone to sleep in our churches. And that church recognized they had lost something that they one time had. I heard testimony after testimony about altar services where people would come and they would get a hold of that altar physically and spiritually, and they wouldn't let go. God had to hear their prayers because they wouldn't shut up. And they just kept pleading and pleading with God, making supplication and petition before God. I mean, there was husbands' names lifted up. There was wives' names lifted up. There was children that weren't saved lifted up. There was backslidden lives that were thrown at the altar of God. And they wouldn't let go. And they prayed. And they prayed like God was going to hear their prayer and move on the behalf of their prayer. I'll tell you what happens. We start to lose the importance of prayer. And when you know you've really gone to sleep and become insensible, it doesn't even really concern you about the heart of a sinner that's dying and going to hell. I mean, when is the last time? When is the last time you felt so burdened and moved to the Lord that you couldn't stop praying for somebody that needed delivered, saved? You realize sinners without Jesus Christ are going to hell. And it ought to burden believers because we know the answer and the solution to that. We have the remedy, not in ourselves, but of the knowledge and the faith of Jesus Christ to save and deliver hearts and lives. Man, when's the last time? Man, if it was just last Sunday morning and I miss it, I am so thankful for the spiritual awakeness of your heart. I am blessed by that. But I'm telling you, there's a reality that probably the majority are going to sleep. I tell you what else happens. Point number two, when a person sleeps, their judgment is gone. It's inevitable. Judgment's gone. Just like when you're sleeping physically. Do you ever wonder sometimes why you have those crazy dreams? I just shared it with our church not long ago. I used to have that dream that occurred more than one time, and I would be going to church even when I was ready to preach, and I would be there in my underwear, and I would be asking, God, what does this have to do with anything? Where's Daniel, the interpreter? What does it mean that the preacher's going to church in his underwear? You know what happens in your physical way? The judgment's gone. Your body's relax, your soul and your mind is at ease. And there's crazy things that sometimes we dream. Sometimes God gets in all that too. That's what happens spiritually too. Our judgment leaves. It's amazing. They don't allow us to see things as they really are. And oftentimes our own life the way it really is. How many people have you been able to just clearly look in their lives and you know they need help? Spiritually, they're struggling. And their response over and over is, I'm okay. I'm okay. Well, I gave my heart to the Lord. Yeah. A whole lot more after that, too. Our judgment. It's amazing how things look differently. When a person sleeps, they become inactive. Not necessarily in everything, because we're full of an activity world. We've got busy retired people. We don't become inactive in everything, but what we do happen to become inactive in when we get a little sleepy spiritually is in God's work. It's almost like everything else matters, but God's work. It's almost like everything else, it can't be pushed off, but God can. It's almost like I'll make time for everything else in my schedule, but God. And in reality, it looks like this here. Everything else is more important to me than what really matters the most of all, and that is God. Those eternal things. What I'm saying tonight is we have got to be intentional about God's ways. And we need to tonight. You know, once it was a delight to teach Sunday school class and help with VBS. And man, I just wanted to be involved. And now, I don't really want anything to do with it. Oh, yeah. People grow spiritually sleepy. The church grows spiritually sleepy. Once they sang, once they made visits, once they called, and now they're asleep. I don't know where you're at tonight, St. Thomas. I'm just trying to mind God and what he had given to me tonight. I'm trying to mind God as I speak to the church of the living God. I'm trying to mind God and what God's words were addressed through Paul through the Holy Spirit, that the church of Jesus Christ needs to wake up and recognize the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it so important tonight that the believer stay awake and that the unbeliever and the unsaved get awake and on a spiritual awakening for Jesus Christ? Why is that tonight? Because when we look back at Matthew chapter 26, and we look at the garden scene, and he was asking his disciples that they would just pray for him. They would just pray alongside of their Savior and their Messiah, and then they failed him, and they went to sleep so often spiritually like we do, and God is expecting things of us, and he's wanting things of us, and we so easily grow to sleep, and then at the end of that account, he says, go ahead and sleep on, for the one that is here to betray me into the hands of sinners there. Here. I'm telling you tonight, why is it so important that you and I as believers in Christ, that the church of Jesus Christ gets awake, that the unbeliever gets awake and knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Why is it that every human being comes to come awake in Jesus Christ? It's because he's not going to say this time, okay, I'm ready to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Go ahead and sleep on. This time he's coming again to rescue and redeem the bride of Christ. Why? Because the second coming of the Son of Jesus Christ, orchestrated by Gabriel, the angel that has a special mission. Doo-doo-doo!
The trump's going to sound, and Christ, the Son of God, is going to step out on the clouds, and he's coming to redeem his bride. Why is it that you and I need to stay awake and sober and alert and be watchful, be prayerful, be mindful of God and his ways, and be awake as the church of the living God? It's because the Son of God is coming again. He's coming again. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm praying, God, help me stay awake, and God, help me be alert, and God, help me to be concerned about the tasks that lay ahead. And God, help me to be concerned about my church and the things that are going on. Romans 13, 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let me just close with this here. Let me tell you how you stay awake. These are some helps anyhow. You need to stay in Christian company. You need to stay in Christian company. It sharpens you. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. It keeps you accountable. Listen, you can go hermit yourself and you don't need an answer to anybody else, but you're not doing yourself any kind of favors. There's a fellowship going on, a community of believers that are here, and there's accountability, there's help, there's encouragement, there's studying the Word of God together, there's sharpening one another, there's responsibility senses that you recognize. Hey, I feel like God could use us here. God could be doing this in our areas. There's an amazing thing by God's design that is happening here, and we need to be among it. I need to be among it. I know how easily prone I am to go spiritually sleeping without company of Christians. I need to invest time in my life. I need to be intentional about it. That's why I'm oftentimes looking for a revival to attend if I'm not preaching. That's why I'm looking for any kind of church service that I can plug into and my time will allow and permit. I need to spiritually invest in those things so that I can stay awake. Listen, I'm not trying to be a Christian by not looking like a Christian. I want to be among it. I know it's real. I want to plug into it. We need to be intentional about it. God has ways of waking us up, but he's expecting us to be intentional about it. Keep Christian company. Time and time again, more than not, Christians that isolate themselves, it's just danger for falling away. God didn't design it that way. I'm not saying that there's not Christians that don't go to church or anything like that. Don't mishear me. This here, this is God's design. After this year we just put through, it is precious to me. This is precious to me. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your face in his word. I'm going to invite my wife and Mary. They'll come and sing a song. And I want to use it as an altar service tonight. And listen, God didn't give me no specific thing that I'm expecting to happen out of this service other than we just hear the word of God and that it changes us. I mean, wouldn't it be great in this revival tonight hearing a message like this where we need to be spiritually awake? That maybe there's a husband here tonight that senses a dear responsibility as being the spiritual leadership in your home. And maybe tonight through the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you maybe sense that maybe you've grown a little slumbering in those areas. I mean, wouldn't it be good tonight in the house of God and God's Spirit is here so wonderful that somebody be willing to just come before the Lord tonight and say, you know what? Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you wake me up. First of all, I want to tell you I'm sorry.
I want to tell you I'm sorry, because by me going to sleep means in my life what I am saying is other things have crept in, other things have become more important than you, and I've allowed things spiritually in my life to slumber. And I'm sorry, and I need forgiveness, and I need to repent, and I don't want to go that way anymore, so God help me tonight. How about it, wives, tonight? How about it, moms and dads? I remember one revival service, Brother Henry Dorman, Roger was preaching, and he was talking about homes and the value of homes and godly homes, and I remember I needed to do something urgent in my life, and that night, Bree will maybe recall, I got home with my family, my boys, and I said, tonight we need to rededicate this home to the Lord Jesus Christ. No more of this going on. We need to come back to where we need to be with Jesus. He needs to be our absolutely everything. And I meant it. And I mean it tonight. I don't want to go to sleep. I don't want to be sleeping. Maybe somebody tonight will come out of this service and say, you know what? I need to do something in my home. You know what? God's put something on my heart tonight. I see something God's awakened me to tonight. Hey, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's never made a profession of faith. Somebody's never knelt at an altar and truly knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Hey, maybe tonight God's waking your heart up and waking your life up. And tonight you want to make it real and you just want to come. It doesn't matter anymore. You just want to come and kneel and get it right and make sure it's right between you and the Lord. It's a great service. Something like that to be awakened. Maybe you're in the leadership of this church. Maybe you recognize some things go on to sleep. I tell you, the first place to begin is right here in prayer. I don't know what it is tonight. God, will you wake us up? As these ladies sing through tonight, this is an altar service. This is for Christian. This is for non-believer. I love the invitation mostly that says, just as I am. They're going to sing, Lord, I'm coming home. Tonight I'm inviting you. Tonight I'm inviting you. If you have a need, will you come pray the Lord? Will you come get God's help?